You guys pumped? I'm pumped. Whew, damn, am I pumped. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Behind the Counter 2.0, BTC 2.0. I'm your host, Rich, and I'm back again. I know it's been a while, and I want to thank all my supporters here on YouTube and on iTunes. Yes, it's available on two formats. Go check it out. Lots to talk about today, some new and fun stuff, but let's get right to it. Today, I chat with artist Juan Ferreira, artist extraordinaire, who just finished up an exclusive deal with Marvel, and guess what? He will be drawing the Flash movie prelude miniseries, Flash, the Fastest Man Alive. We didn't get to talk about that project because it was announced after we had the interview, but we did touch base about him drawing the Flash, which is kind of like a weird, cool coincidence and a happy accident for our conversation. Stick around after the interview. I'm going to talk about my books of the week and my review of The Many Deaths of Layla Starr out from Boom. All right, enough gabbing. Here's Juan. Check it out. Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. Juan Ferreira. Juan, how are you?
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Not bad. Well.
Thank you. Cool.
Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. I noticed you're wearing a Marvel shirt. Is that because you're a current Marvel artist?
Actually, no. I put it on just because, I don't know, it was the first shirt comic-related that I had in my hand, so... I had a contract with Marvel, like an exclusivity contract, and it ended, but it doesn't mean that I cannot keep working with them. So,
that's interesting.
It's like I'm free. I can work with whoever I want.
That's pretty cool. How long did that contract go? Because I thought you were still under that exclusive contract with them.
I was until 15 days ago. So I ended my Spider-Man, spine-tingling Spider-Man story. After I finished that one, it was the end of the contract. So that was for maybe 3 years, I think, or 4 years. I don't know. Something like that.
Wow.
And now I can work with, I don't know, whatever I want to do.
And you've been in the business for a while, and you've done pretty much work for every company, right?
Not all of them, but yes, I started at Image Comics in 2004, doing a comic called Small Gods, Create Your Own. Then I went to Dark Horse, maybe for 8 years. And from there, I went to DC 4 years, and then to Marvel 4 years, I think. So just four companies.
That's great. So how did you break into the business? Were you, did you grow up a comic book fan?
Yeah, my dad used to read comics all the time in my house. It was Argentinian comics and European comics, and I used to watch them all the time. My dad, he knows how to draw. He taught me how to draw and everything, and I used to glance at his comics. But when I went to Brazil for a vacation when I was maybe 10, I think I bought my first superhero comic. That it was a Superman comic, Action Comics, and I fell in love with medium, so with superhero. And then is when I decided that I wanted to draw comics when I grew up, and I kept drawing comics in school, my own comics. I showed it to my friends, stuff like that. And when I finished high school, I met one of my best a guy that loved comics, and he had like a printer, and he was a writer, and we came out with a comic together. It was called Elvis Man, about a fat guy that loved to drink beer and fight crime. He fought kind of like the Justice League, but he was kind of like the Boys, like he was fighting against the evil Superman and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And that was Create Your Own. It was my first, like, that's where I started to learn how to draw comics, because I had to do it like I could tell a complete story. I stopped doing just pinups and I started to tell stories, to do narration. So after that, it was maybe 7 issues, and then I pitched a comic to Image Comics, and that's when I got in.
That's fantastic. So you didn't really, did you have formal training to be an artist, or are you just self-taught right off the bat?
My dad was buying the comics, and my dad, my uncle, they all drew. So I was drawing all day. When I was a kid, it was easy for me. I also lived alone in the country. So I didn't have a lot of stuff to do. So I kept drawing and drawing and drawing. So I kind of like self-taught me. When I bought comics, I copied the comics, and that helped me a lot. So, yes. I went to university to do graphic design, but only 2 years. After that, I dropped off because I didn't have enough money. I started working on comics, animation and comics, and then I never went back.
Yeah, everybody has such a different route to get into comics that it's pretty fascinating. I've talked to so many people doing the show, and every single person has such a different story of how they got into comics. How did you break into, you know, working for the big two like Marvel and DC? You mentioned a pitch for Image. So after that, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, it was a pain in the ass as well. I knew that I had to go to conventions, so that's what I thought that I had to go. So I think my first convention, I was maybe 19, and I went to San Diego Comic-Con with my dad and my mom, stuff like that. And I had some drawings, and I saw they had like a portfolio reviews and things like that. I remember I took some Alien versus Predator samples to the Dark Horse that I think 10 years later I drew them, so that was nice. And some Superman things, but that didn't work out. So I kept, every 2 years, I kept flying to the States, to San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con with samples. In the middle, I started working for Image, I started for something like that, but I kept sending samples. But I remember when I did Small Gods, after the maybe 8th issue, I got a call from an editor from DC Comics, and they asked me if I wanted to work on an Aquaman comic, something like that, and I was like floored. He called me in my house and everything. I was like, yes. And I thought that wasn't that difficult. I did 8 issues, and someone was calling me. I was super happy. But I couldn't like just drop my friend, leave the comic that I was doing, because the guy at DC just called me because he saw me drawing that comic. So I told him, now give me maybe 2 months so I can finish wrap this arc or something like that, and then I can work with you. Oh, okay, yeah, no problem. And then he never called me again. So, and I lost the contact. And I after that, I think I spent the following 8 years trying to break into DC Comics, for example, or more Marvel. I couldn't. So, and now thinking back, I should have said yes and do both comics at the same time. I don't know, try to find the time. I don't know.
But yeah.
And then maybe 8 years passed, and I kept sending samples, going to conventions, and nothing happened. And I stopped doing samples. I got tired of it. And then there was a convention in Argentina, and the editor from the States came here and from Europe and everything. And I was tired, and I just dropped them in the samples. I just put some of my comics that I was doing at the time, Calder for Dark Horse. And one of the guys of DC liked the comics, so he just called me up, and they gave me the Constantine gig to do covers for them. And after that, they offered me comics. That's how I finally got in.
So it was kind of like you almost got in, and then you had to come back a few years later.
Yeah, it was hard.
That is very interesting. You know, like what is your work rate look like? Are you sitting at your table all day, or do you set aside like a certain amount of time? I know it's different for every artist.
I usually started like at 9 in the morning, maybe, or 8, I don't know, 9, I guess, until 5, maybe, or 6 every day from Monday to Friday. And then I try to take off Saturday and Sunday. But that's I'm saying, I think I'm pretty fast. So, but sometimes there are some days that I really like to I can go faster because I feel motivated, so I can go faster. And some days I just don't feel like drawing at all, so I just go out and do something else until I get my mojo back or whatever. But usually it's from 9 to 5. Just try to do it fast. If I have a lot of time, I don't draw at all. I once worked for Europe doing albums, and they're like 48 pages, the album. And the first half of the, they gave me like 9 months to do 48 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the first half in maybe 8 months. And then I had the deadline, and I did the second half in maybe a month or 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So I just need deadlines to work faster.
Yeah.
If I have a lot of time, it doesn't mean that it's going to be a better book.
So do you usually, you know, with that being said, is it more of the subject matter where if you're really into the story you're given, put more into it and be able to get something done faster as opposed to something where it's like you don't really care about too much?
Yeah. The story, the most important part for me is the story. I don't like what I'm drawing, I don't believe in it, or I don't find something interesting to draw, I don't, it's very hard for me to do. Thankfully, I work with a lot of stories that I ended up liking, but when I don't like it, it's super hard. It's like I don't spend anything. If I feel like I can contribute with story ideas or cool things to do, I will do a better job. I'll be spent. I'll sleep. I'll dream about it and try to do the best. So yeah, definitely.
Is that tough working for like the big two as far as, you know, DC and Marvel goes, where they're going to give you something and it doesn't matter if you like it or not, you're going to have to do it, right? I'm assuming that's how it goes with certain books, right?
Yeah, sometimes before starting, I thought that maybe they'll ask you, what do you want to do next or something like that, but that hardly happens. They just put you with a new writer or a writer, and they offer you that comic, and sometimes you can say no, but usually, like, you try to say yes, and sometimes you get like a nice surprise out of it. Like, for example, when they offered me Green Arrow, I had never read a Green Arrow story before.
Oh, wow.
So I thought I was going to be good at it. So I said, no, I never read a Green Arrow. I know nothing about the character, so maybe I'm not a very good guy to do it. And they told me, no, don't worry about it. You're going to do a good job. So I jumped over it, and it was awesome. So it was a nice surprise. Also, when I was doing Thunderbolts, I never read a Thunderbolt comic before, and I loved working with Rosenberg on that book. It was really fun, for example. Or what else? Black Panther's Nemesis? I forgot his name. Killmonger. When I did Killmonger also, I had an amazing time doing it. It was one of my favorite things to do. Really fun.
That's awesome. Who are some of your favorite collaborators? You know, because like you said, if you don't like the story, you're not really going to focus too hard on what you're doing.
I don't know. The ladies that I really like working with, Matthew Rosenberg was nice. Jerry Dugan was awesome. Benjamin Percy also is amazing. Over at Green Arrow. Ted McKay also is great. I don't know. Saladin, that I'm working with him right now, it's pretty good too. Most of the guys, I don't know. You get to work with different writers, and so far, I think maybe 80% of them that were fun to work with. You can tell they're fans, and they love doing stories and things like that. It's for passion. I had to work a long time ago with maybe some writers that are not. You know, they are not comics fans,
yeah.
You can tell on the street, and it's the stuff that they want you to do, or they ask you to do, and they are not really good. I worked with a guy from, he was like a director, and I know he wasn't very good at it, and the comic was the worst experience I ever had.
Really?
It wasn't very good. I ended up losing money because we had to deliver a comic in time, and he was asking me to change so much of the comic, like in every panel, everything. I felt like I was a puppet. I wasn't an artist. He was telling me to do everything, So I couldn't finish the coming on time. I told him, you're not going to be able to finish the coming on time. And the company didn't pay us because of that.
So man, that's a shame.
I lost like 2 months of my life for that.
That's a shame. I'm sorry to hear that. But I think the landscape is ever changing. And it seems like in the last few years, like you're kind of getting, it's more positive than negative, you know, especially with like comic writers that they're, and artists too. It seems like there are so many international artists. And I think the last couple of years, a lot of companies are steering more towards Latino artists. And a few years ago, it was the Italians. Now it's the Latinos, you know? Yep. And, you know, that being said, what is your process of figuring out what to do with a book or with a layout? Are you traditional pen and ink? Are you digital? You know, like walk me through. Let's say you get a great script tomorrow from Jerry Duggan. You know, what are you going to do with that?
First, I read it all across, and so I just figure out my head what's going on. If I have to come up with a design character and stuff like that, I Google images, do some research. After that, I just jump into the little thumbnails, and sometimes it changes. Most of the time, I used to do the thumbnails directly on the big page, like in 11 by 17. But sometimes I do it in a small piece of paper, I lay out the whole comic. It takes me maybe 1 day or 2 days, depends on if it's too difficult or not. And then I start drawing with pencil. I pencil the whole comic. And then on each stage, I have to send the stuff to the editor or the writer, or both of them. And they review it, and that's it. I just do the whole pages in pencil. It's not very tight, the pencils, because I ink myself. So after that, the pencils takes me maybe 10 days or something like that, maybe, or may or less. And then I just think doing using a brush and some ink, like this one or any brush, or maybe the stains also.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Whatever. Sometimes I use watercolors to color the comic. It depends on the project. I can change it a lot. Or maybe just do inks and no watercolors, and I do digital coloring. My father helped me out. Every time I finish the page, I send it to my dad, and my dad he does the flats with Photoshop, and then he sends me all the colors to. I just add some
lighting, that's awesome.
Shadows and things like that. Yeah.
No, that's a really cool process. You know, like it's also like it's bringing you can bring your dad into your profession. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we do. Actually, I have my daughter. He's next to me here on the side. He likes to draw too. And there were the comic that I did with Jerry Duggan. It was Punisher Kill Crew, for example. It was about some monsters that came to New York and killed a lot of kids. Fathers, they ended up being orphans.
Yeah, yeah.
So Punisher asked the kids for them to draw the monster that killed their parents. So for that, I had my daughter to draw all the monsters, to invent monsters, like to come out with new monsters. I used those drawings, and those drawings are on the comic. And so that comic has my daughter's drawing, my drawings, and my father's coloring. So it's like three generations working on the same comic.
Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome. That's got to be a good feeling too, especially because it's, you know, such a generational thing that, you know, your dad brought you into comics, you work in comics, and then you have your daughter now doing that with you. That's got to feel amazing.
Yeah, it's like great. Sometimes I let my daughter, she's now 8, but she inks some of the backgrounds. Some details and stuff like that. So she's also starting slowly to help me out. It's gonna be fun.
That's awesome. I hope you're paying her.
No, but with candy.
That's good. You're using the free labor. What do you got going on for the future? You said your Marvel contract as of 15 days ago, you're a free agent. What are you looking to do now? Like more big two work, more independent stuff? Do you have anything cooking?
No, I want to do some big two stuff. I have some stuff that I maybe I don't know yet. We need confirmation. Maybe I'll do some stuff for Marvel. But also I have to do some stuff for DC. Maybe like a big, like 38 pages comic, like a one shot, something like that, on a character that I really like, that I can tell about. I'm doing some covers for DC and finishing some commissions for the fans. But yes, for now, I just want to keep doing superheroes. My main ultimate goal would be like to draw Superman one day. That's my favorite character. That's what got me into comics. So I want to draw him on Action Comics or the Superman title, I don't know, or Justice League, I don't know, one of those. And that would be my ultimate goal. Maybe when I reach that, or maybe after a couple of, maybe 5, 10 years, I'll go back to do some creator-run comics and some stories that I want to tell, or some writers that I want to collaborate with.
That's awesome. I see on your Twitter page, you post a lot of Superman stuff. So clearly that's your favorite guy.
Exactly.
who would be your ideal person to do Superman with? Like, with you on art, who would you want writing it?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows? No, I don't know. Maybe someone new that never worked on it, like to try to have some fresh ideas and something cool. I don't have any writer on my mind right now.
It's tough. I always feel like Superman's like a tough one, you know, like it's oddly difficult for like to write. I don't know why, like to write such a good Superman. So I think Bendis is doing a pretty comparable job when he took over a couple of years ago.
So I don't know. I have to check it out. I don't know why it's hard for me to find. I like to read the comics in English.
Yeah.
Here in my city, I cannot buy them in English. I cannot find them. So when I travel to conventions, I buy them, but I haven't read it. So
you were in New York this past year for Comic-Con, right?
Yes, exactly.
How was that experience for you? Did you have a good show? Did you end up picking up a lot of stuff to bring back home?
Yeah, I didn't buy that much stuff because I think in New York there was not a lot of comic-related stuff this year. Like, there were no DC booth, no Marvel booth. No,
yeah.
I think it was just no Image booth. There was nothing. Just maybe, I don't know, one company or something like that. So from that perspective, it wasn't that good to walk on the floor for me. It wasn't that interesting to walk around. But I had a good experience on the artist alley.
Yeah.
I had to meet a lot of fans and work a lot. So that one was good. But yeah, I didn't buy a lot of comics to bring back. Also, I've been with new, you know, playing things and stuff like that. I had I bought a CT to work with.
Mm.
So that I used all my space and all my weight to get back to playing. So I didn't buy books because they're too heavy. So that was lame.
Yeah. How long is the flight? Is it a straight flight, or are you stopping in Panama and then going to
Argentina? It's sometimes you can do that, but I went to Buenos Aires.
Okay.
It's like an hour flight. Then I changed airports, and then it was maybe 10 hours to go from Buenos Aires to New York.
That's not bad.
No, I'm used to it. So it's common. So you go to Europe, so
that's not bad at all. Yeah, this convention was a little strange because I thought the Artist Alley was the best it's been in years because it wasn't as packed.
Yeah, it wasn't packed. I love about it. That about it. It was,
yeah.
You can walk around. It was good.
Yeah, walk around and have conversations. Whereas, like, I think every year before that, it's like you're so jammed up that, you know, I'd walk down there for like 5 minutes and then like come back up and then try again like another time. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I remember every year I ended up having headaches because of all the people, all the noise, things like that. And this year it was okay. So
yeah. So besides Superman, what other property would you love to be working on?
Batman, Wolverine, Punisher, Justice League, lot of Flash, the X-Men. I don't know, a lot of them. Constantine, maybe. Swamp Thing, too.
I'd love to see you on all those books, by the way, because your art style is very unique, but I think you'd really nail it with X-Men and Flash for some reason.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah, because the Flash has like the like such a great rogues gallery, you know, that would be such a great showcase, you know. So
That's
like
true.
so you don't do the digital stuff yourself. It's you're very traditional, right?
Yeah, pencil, ink, watercolor. I could do it usually, but I don't know. I like working on the paper and getting in my hands messy and things like that. It's fun.
Yeah.
Also, I get to sell the original art. Fans like to buy the original art, so it's better than to. Although it would be nice to do all digital because I like to travel a lot and to travel and maybe be abroad and have just to bring just my tablet and draw all over that.
Yeah.
But sometimes I travel and I have to bring my table, my scanner, the pages. It's a hassle to do
It's
all
a
of
lot. Especially like if you're going far, you know, you got to bring like it's weighing you down. All right, Juan, I got a couple more questions and then I'll let you go.
No problem.
So Juan, I asked this, every one of my guests has a different answer. What is your favorite sandwich?
Sandwich. Like not sandwich, or it could be a hamburger,
It could be
or
anything that's between two pieces of bread.
yeah. Well, I love sandwiches. It's like my favorite food ever. I think that I even like to have a sandwich of bread, like bread between two different types of breads. So
Oh,
that's like the ultimate sandwich. No, I love hamburgers. Yeah, but any hamburger, I could. Like we have, either meat and a lot of cheese and whatever.
Yeah.
Just like I like different types of sandwiches. I know, but one of that I've been trying right now, sandwich that is not hamburger because hamburger is my favorite. Maybe avocado. How do you say it? It's palta for us. Avocado,
Yeah.
tomato, cheese, ham. I just put that.
That sounds pretty fantastic.
Yeah, toast, everything toast. Ah, egg, like
Oh
egg,
yeah.
but not finished. It's starting to melt with the yellow thing.
Like a runny yolk.
Yes, and now it's messy in my mouth, on the
Yeah.
floor, on the table. Awesome.
That sounds pretty fantastic.
Yes.
Where could everybody find you online, and where could everybody find you for original art?
Online, I'm on Twitter a lot. J.E. Ferreira. Just put me and you find me. Also on Instagram, same J.E. Ferreira. And on Comic Con Art, you can buy my original art and ask for a commission or whatever. But I love doing those. So that's where you can reach me. I like to talk on Twitter and Instagram, whatever. So it's always fun to be in contact with fans.
Very cool, man. So you like interacting with fans on the social media?
Yeah, definitely. It was awesome. Yeah,
That's
from
great.
a long time ago on message boards before there was even social media.
Oh yeah, the days of the message board, the AOL message boards from
Yes.
25 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
Cool, Juan. Thank you very much for doing this. I appreciate it, man. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of your work come out in the future, hopefully sooner than later.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me. Okay. Thanks for
Cool,
the
man.
invitation to me. Okay,
You
cool.
got it.
Bye.
Good interview. Guys, go check out his art. Lots of fun talking to him. Buy his art. Keep him employed. Get him on as many books as possible, or as many books he can keep up with. Keep an eye out for that Flash book also. How many of you guys are watching Boba Fett? I'm really digging it. Star Wars is in great hands. As long as Disney keeps putting out weekly content, I love getting cozy, being back on Tatooine. It's just the nostalgia of that really gets to me. But I do think the next season he should be in outer space kicking ass and maybe bounty hunting again. I would also like to see where the other bounty hunters from Empire ended up. I mean, Listen, I am a sucker for nostalgia, so don't poo-poo on what I'm saying, but where's my Forlom? Where's my Zuckus? Where's my Dengar? Where's my Bossk? I want to see where these dudes are at. Especially in like the new Disney canon, and like in the old canon, they did have some adventures, but I want to see some new stuff. Moving on. My books of the week. Batman the Knight, number one, from Chip Zdarsky and Carmine Di Giandomenico. That is a tough one to say. You know, we've had so many original stories for Bruce Wayne. Could we stand another one? Yes. Yes, we can. Chip is a fantastic writer, and I suggest you pick up all of his work. This is his first issue, and going forward, it is it's a great hook. So it's Bruce Wayne in his later high school days on his quest to become the Dark Knight. I really enjoyed the first issue. Hugo Strange appears as his psychotherapist, psychoanalyst, which I really appreciate. You don't get a lot of good Hugo Strange, and he's an interesting character that pops up every so often. And you would think more folks would pick up on just how evil he looks, because he looks like a sinister Frasier. Looks like the series is going to have Bruce traveling the world, meeting some fan favorites, and some new characters along the way. I'm in for the ride. New Batman flick is coming out in March. It's going to be here just like that. And listen, the movie's going to be 3 hours. I'm all about it. I want a 3/4/5 hour Batman movie. If Netflix can do it and fool you into watching a 10-hour movie split into 10 episodes, listen, it's cool that there's a 3-hour Batman movie. Next up, Time Before Time, number 9, from Image, written by Rory McConville and Declan Shalvey, with art from Joe Palmer. This book has definitely made it into the top of my stack for months. I really can't wait to get my hands on it when it drops. It's a great time travel story / time travel caper. And the long form story they're presenting here should definitely be read and appreciated. If you love time travel, sci-fi, 12 monkeys, apocalyptic people-to-people stories, I would say check it out. It's really good. Like, it's really one of the top books that Image is putting out. I really can't wait to read it every month. My last book of the week is Silver Coin number 8 from writer Matthew Rosenberg and art by Michael Walsh. This is a great horror anthology series that Image puts out monthly, centering around a mysterious coin that brings whoever is in possession of it or around it an amazing amount of luck, but just the opposite amount of bad luck. So could the coin be the embodiment of yin and yang or karma incarnate? This issue was particularly fantastic. Matt Rosenberg weaved a story about a janitor who becomes obsessed with the coin, who is working in executive offices. An executive has the coin in his possession. Janitor can't stop looking at it, can't stop cleaning around the area. He's been warned by the staff that he's getting a little too loosey-goosey in his day-to-day doings. But, you know, the book is a one-issue story where you get to see, like, the trials of the working class, the upper class, the middle class, and what this coin is doing to everyone. It's a horror anthology. I guess this is season 2. So this season, you're going to get stuff from Joshua Williamson, Vita Ayala, Ram V, Matthew Rosenberg, and Michael Walsh. And next month, number 9 is going to be from Vita Ayala. They are self-contained stories, one issue a pop, and they're great, man. I recommend them all. Some honorable mentions this week: Hulk number 3 and A Righteous Thirst for Vengeance number 4. Two books that I really love. Loving what Cates is doing on Hulk. Ram V. If you don't know who he is, he's one of the best writers in comics today. And you should check out my interview with him from back in episode number 19. That being said, the softcover edition of The Many Deaths of Layla Starr recently dropped from Boom, and I cannot praise this miniseries enough for its originality and art from Felipe Andrade, who I would love to have on one day. Felipe, if you're listening, come on. In a nutshell, Layla Starr is the mortal vessel of the goddess of death, who has become obsolete because a prophecy is being fulfilled where a mortal child will be the creator of eternal life. Layla, knowing she is now doomed to be on Earth as a mortal, kind of finagles her way into a recently deceased body that is near the child named Darius, who is being born. Her intent is to terminate the child so he doesn't bring about eternal life for the Earth, so that she could get her job back. Now, the book is called The Many Deaths of Layla Starr for a reason. It's not just a play on words with her being the goddess of death. She dies in mortal form, but keeps getting resurrected by an old colleague, Prana, the god of life. And by colleague, I mean, Ram sets this book up to have the deities and abstract concepts put into executive office structure, and I find that very delicious. I just eat it up. So when Layla dies, she ends up coming back and moving forward in time, and as that happens, Darius grows older and older, and she's worried in her mortal form that the prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Now, whenever she visits Darius and sees him, death seems to surround him. And not to give anything away, because I want you to read this, clearly this isn't your punch-punch superhero fare, and this is A-okay, because you can do anything within comics. This is a perfect example of an amazing comic book that is full of philosophy, intellect, self-reflection, and touches on the connective tissue that we share as humans, even though we are strangers on Earth. This collection is definitely going to be on my shelf for life, and if you love comics, I think you should pick it up. I really do love this book. If somebody asked me, hey, what are some comics you can recommend me that are non-superhero, this is going to be on the top of my list, along with a book like Sandman or possibly Preacher, which is my favorite. Rom V weaves such a beautiful story that touches on the many aspects and emotions of death and mourning and the joy of life and the simplicity of watching a sunset and hanging out with your friends and eating some cotton candy at a fair. There's beautiful poetry in this book, as well as the art that goes with it. I don't think there could be a more perfect team for this particular story. All right, guys, that about does it for my return episode. Please subscribe here and on iTunes. Every episode is available under Behind the Counter 2.0, BTC 2.0. Please check out some of the other places I'm at on the internet. I have a film podcast with my buddy Alex called Film Class Zeros. It's on iTunes, where we chat about some flicks we love and if they hold up or if they're worth a revisit. We're starting our social channel, so you can follow us on Twitter at Film Zeros. And of course, Mad Men Podcast, that is live every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. You may have noticed my shirt. Man, it's only been a week since The Expanse ended, and I already miss it. Another cool little bit of news that happened right before I started recording here. Apparently, I won one of the Mezco 112-day challenges for my picture of the Flash that I'm going to put up right now. Boom, look at that guy. Pretty cool stuff. Awesome company. Can't wait to get my prize. I want to see what's going on with them. I've won a couple of things in my life, but this is pretty cool. Guys, follow me on Twitter at BTCRich. If you want to talk about comics, chat, recommendations, chat about this episode, leave some comments on this page. Go for it. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And I will see you next week with another interview and some more comic book chat. Later.